You just hijacked my chips, bro. You just hijacked my chips.
Oh. All right.
You can have them.
Rate your chips. Rate your favorite chips.
My favorite chips?
Hot Cheetos baked.
Favorite chips. Ooh. In the West Valley.
Baked. In the West Valley?
Baked hot Cheeto lime.
Lime?
Like, no, the chips and salsa.
Oh.
Where do you go for chips and salsa?
I don't really get chips and salsa.
Oh, no?
You know what, Chipotle, though? Chipotle has good chips and salsa.
No, they have good chips and queso.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And their guac. You don't like their guac?
No, not so good. This.
It's going to make a loud noise, probably.
Is that the noise it makes?
That's what the listeners hear.
Do you want me to put it up more?
Check. Game time.
Eternal drama of our salvation playing out from the beginning of creation.
Our faith itself is inherently dramatic.
Dramatic.
And yet this is how our God loves.
He loves.
Who speaks in the name of the church?
Yeah.
Popes, bishops, priests.
What about lay people? Would you say they have a voice?
And I was going to say, you beat me to it.
Sorry.
There's something called sensus fidelium.
Sensus what?
The sense of the faithful.
The senses.
So it's kind of like kinda, the church will know.
Kind of like when they want to canonize a saint, right? I think that's an example, right? It's like when somebody dies and they're like really holy, then there's this like, the sense of the faith would be people would bring that to probably like their bishop or something if they saw like miracles and
like present like that.
Mm-hmm. The faithful know holiness when they see it.
Yeah. Mm.
Ooh. There was a part in this document that me and Delilah were like, dang. What did it say?
Read it.
It said, in fact, who would trust a savior who may have not known who he was? Or was he unwilling to be what he was?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That part
was...
I said, hold on, I'm conflicted.
She said, read it again. Read it again for the people in the back.
Read it again.
For the people in the back. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's Christology. If Jesus knew himself, what he was getting himself into.
Basically, it's the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, in this Vatican document, it says, in fact, who would trust a savior who may not have known who he was or was unwilling to be what he was? Let's break that down.
I'll break it down just in a second. Welcome back to you.
Dramatic Catholic. Hi, guys. Way to start that off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just a
our lunch conversation.
Yeah. Mm. That's
over
a head pull.
Over Hashtag Don Ponchos.
Ooh, this is so
good.
Get
yours today.
Across the street. Their soap are so good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Their horchata is good.
They're across the street from the parish if you ever get a chance. They're closed on Sundays, though, no? Or Mondays.
No, they're closed
on Mondays. Yeah. They're closed on
Mondays. Sundays are open till 3.
They're my Chick-fil-A.
Promote it. Sponsor us, Don Panchos.
Hey.
And La Panadería is right there.
Oh, the Panadería. You got to go for their steak sandwiches, bro. I'm telling you.
Their steak sandwiches?
Their breakfast sandwiches are fire.
Their chorizo?
The chorizo is like a patty.
Chipotle sauce,
it's a patty.
You got
but their steak sandwiches is pretty good.
They have really good champurrado.
Yeah. Don't sleep on their marranitos.
Their what?
The marranitos.
Oh, yeah. Their little...
The little...
Pig.
Piggy that's like a...
Oh, yeah.
Molasses cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
It's so good.
Mm.
Oh.
And we have Father Andrew today.
Yeah, if you couldn't
What up,
tell.
What up?
Yeah. I would say guest, but it doesn't feel
You're
right
You're
anymore.
Regular now.
Regular.
Yeah.
I'm rocking my... Our Lady of Guadalupe hoodie.
It's cute.
Sweater weather.
Mm-hmm. Sweater weather.
Is sweater it? Weather. I mean, not
is
really.
It?
It's been kind of warm.
It's been warm.
Yeah, it's t-shirt like, weather.
But today, we thought we'd just do a nice Q&A, but for you. We did our Q&A with Padre David.
Q&A with Padre.
Andreas. Mm-hmm. Today.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
With Father Fritz.
Father Fritz. Padre Andres.
You have so many nicknames.
Whatever le gusta.
Cualquier. Is that how you say it?
Cualquier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bilingual queen.
I know, I'm trying.
Slay.
You ate that up.
Chat?
Chat. It's a new thing.
Okay, what is that? Someone, V texted me that.
Chat.
It's
yeah.
Like,
chat.
It's,
She said chat. I said, what?
I think it's like youth technology slang.
What?
Because they get online to their, like, live stream, Twitch,
use it in a sentence.
Yeah. Gamer thing, right? And instead of saying, hey people, what's up? It's like, chat, what do you think? Chat, tell me, chat. And so now they use it on one-on-one. They're like, chat, what's up, chat?
Wow, when he teaches us something.
It comes from, I thought about this for a while. I was like, okay, how does it become a thing where you use it in a one-on-one interaction?
Yeah.
And it's because the mindset of, hey, chat, hey, people, what's up?
Just
you want to put it on blast.
Hey, people.
Because this is what she said. This is one of our teens. She messaged me. Because me and Esme went to go pick up tickets at the high school for some recital or something. So I was messing with her and I said, hey, I'm here to pick you up. And then I sent her a picture of the school. And I was joking because safe environment.
good woman.
She goes, oh, she said, sorry. She was working out. She said, sorry, chat. I was getting them gains. I was like, what? What does that mean? I was like, you're calling me chat?
I think it's because they live their life so publicly.
Okay.
That even personal one-on-one interactions become like this. Oh. Hey, chat.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know.
It comes from like this very public thing. Like, chat, people, what's up? What do you think?
What's up, chat?
That makes sense, though. That makes sense.
You know another one? What are you putting down?
Oh.
What are you putting what? What are
you
putting
down? Use it in a sentence.
Like, oh, I don't even know. That's what I heard yesterday from
my...
What are you putting down?
Yeah, what are you putting down? No, not money. Just like in general. Like, what are you putting down? Like,
are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But are you holding it down?
Hey.
I've also heard on God.
I've heard that one.
I've heard that. Not a fan.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Don't
obviously.
Use that, please.
Is it on God?
Is it on God? Or is it on you?
It is on. Oh, I like that.
That deserves snaps.
Yeah.
It's not on God. It's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Don't.
No cap.
No cap.
What are you putting down?
Everybody over a certain age is like,
Chad, what are you putting down? Is it on God or is it on you?
Oh, Slay.
He said bars.
Bars.
And that was it. But did you eat that up?
I ate.
What's our generation become?
I don't know. I don't claim it. I don't claim them.
I'm a 2002 baby. I don't know what's the line
what
for
generation
us.
Is that?
I don't know.
You're Z.
What's that? What are you? Millennial?
Yeah,
millennial.
Oh, me shutting up millennium.
I'm like border. I thought I was borderline a millennial. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I heard this thing called a zillennial, where it's like this in between a
Gen Z
and a millennial.
Oh. Did you say I'm Gen X?
No, Gen X is before millennial.
Yeah, but they were saying because of 9/11. Like that kind of changed that small little gap. And technically, I was born still. I was 99.
You want to hear something crazy? I wasn't born for 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's young.
Sit with that. Wow. I just thought I should share that.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Hey, you know, it's a Q&A. We're just talking about
stuff. We're really just talking
about things, you know?
Yeah, guys, we don't really have much to talk about
today.
There's a lot to talk about.
No, but like, not like a certain topic.
Yes.
Yeah, we're just going with the roll. Letting spirit lead.
Let us know, chat. What's on your mind?
Oh my gosh, that's a good segment. What's up, chat?
What's on your mind? Ooh, I like that. We'll try that next time.
Mm.
Yeah, leave it a comment. I'll put that in the comment section.
Yeah.
Hey, what's on your mind? Also, if you haven't already, we hope that you like and actually, what is it, follow us?
Subscribe.
Subscribe?
No, smash follow us. No, it's follow us.
Follow us on Spotify or whatever you're listening
to. Communicate with us, guys.
Yeah.
There's like an option there that says, leave a question
or
a
comment. Yeah.
Let us know what you think. Give us some
feedback. We like to know. Yeah, we like to read. Maybe we'll read it on the podcast.
Like, subscribe, smash that bell. Notifications?
No, we're not on YouTube yet.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. But there's a bell on Spotify.
To give you notifications.
Yeah. Get notified.
Well, maybe Father David will hear us and we'll smash those bells. Hey! At the church.
Our new bells.
Little Alma Redemptoris Mater.
Can you lead
chat,
us?
Chat, let's go ahead and say an opening prayer, shall we?
Let's go, chat. What
join
you
in
down?
wherever you're listening. Your car, your home, through your little AirPods, whatever it is. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, we pause during our day to give you thanks, to remind ourselves of your presence always with us. We know that you love us, and you care for us, and you are Emmanuel, God with us. And so this season, we ask you to draw near, hear us, and hear the prayers of people who are crying out to you from their need. Hear us, O God of Israel, bring us back to you. Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So we have Penelope underscore not Cruz ask, how's the beard growing going? Haven't seen, just heard the news.
Mm. Well, I can't show our listeners, but yes, I am growing a beard. Started in November.
No, just decided, November.
Hey, let's see how this looks.
Just woke up one day was
yeah,
and chose not to shave.
Yeah. And since then, good. It's been growing because yeah. That's what happens when you
what are the
don't
feedback?
Shave.
Yeah, what's your feedback?
Yeah, what's the feedback that you've gotten?
It was 50-50 for a while.
Mm.
It seemed like it was 1-to-1 people who liked it, people who didn't like it. Recently, though, people have been commenting that they actually really like it. It's grown
it
on them.
It's yeah. Grown on
they had to sit with it. Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd say right now it's probably sitting at 70-30.
Okay.
You know, people are always going to hate.
Haters going to hate.
Yeah, but they're your motivators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the kids have said it's not the right type.
Oh.
So let me know, what type of beard should Father Andrew have? Should I shave it down, get a little goatee action?
Get a goatee.
Soul patch?
Just the mustache?
What's a soul
Fu Manchu?
What is that?
Oh, the
handlebar
thing?
Mustache?
The
handlebar?
Hulk Hogan?
So weird.
Wax the mustache, like a little French...
Oh.
Oh, oh, oh.
The beard.
Hopefully that got edited out.
No, I'm going to keep that.
You'll keep it.
I'm going to keep that.
So anyway, yeah. Chat, what do you think of Father Andrew's beard?
Beard.
What should be the new phase?
I'm vibing with it.
I think if the way you should do it, I think you should slowly fade it out. Like if you decide to shave it all off, do the slow fade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, slow fade.
Like... shave, well, I don't know what you call this
inside
part.
Inside out? Leave the mutton
no,
chops
outside.
Last?
No,
outside, no. I would say outside in.
Are you going to shave it off?
That'd be my advice.
We'll see.
If you decide
ooh.
To shave.
I'll keep it around for a while.
Okay. You going to fill it up?
No.
Are you going to be like Father Brian beard type?
Probably not.
It's pretty iconic.
Can't have two priests with big beards.
You would be surprised. There's a lot of priests with
that's true.
Big
but
beards.
He's been rocking it for so long. I've yes. always known Father Brian with a beard.
Really?
Yeah.
And I've known him...
for a fat minute?
10 years.
Oh, dang. Dang.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, no.
_ Bravo Brian asks, can I stop a father to hear my confession at any time?
Yes. Which is the short answer. Depending on the urgency of it,
mm-hmm.
maybe won't happen right then and there. But at the very least, you can always approach... a priest to ask them for a confession, either to make an appointment, which some people do and a lot of people take advantage of, because then they have more time and they can not feel rushed and or feel like the priest is rushed, and they can kind of talk through things that are weighing heavy.
Mm. So what if like you were at the grocery store, right? And people see you with your collar and they're like, Padre or Father, I haven't been to confession so long, but I felt called to ask you to hear my confession. What would you do?
Yeah. Aisle 9.
Aisle 9.
Coffee section.
Coffee.
Let's go. And it's like a thing that you have to do if it's asked for. Again, of course, like depending on the urgency.
It's a sacrament.
Yeah.
And so the church states that the faithful have a right to the sacraments.
Hmm.
All of the sacraments.
And so if you're at the airport...
So, if
you, know?
If you want to avail yourself of the sacrament of confession, you have a right to ask the priest. And the priest has a duty and obligation in a way that's appropriate to the time and circumstance to make himself available to the best of his ability.
To the best of
so
his ability.
So, if you're
ability.
Rushing to your catch your flight, someone stop you, what are you telling them?
I might think, well, I'm a young priest, so other priests might say differently, but... me, as an 8-month-year-old priest, would probably say, yeah, I'll stop him. We'll do it.
Even if you miss your flight?
I might recommend them to their closer.
At their home base.
Because if it's an airport, that probably means we're both traveling.
Yeah.
And if you're traveling back somewhere, you could probably easily find a priest where you are from.
I know, I put you on the spot, but
yeah,
so many.
But I've also had some beautiful moments in airports with people.
Really?
Prayers. Yeah.
Because they see your collar.
So I wear my collar. Yeah. Something just as simple as that will make just the randomest people stop and either want to ask something or a blessing or whatever.
That's nice.
For our next question, let's see. We got a lot of silly questions.
What's the silliest?
The silliest? This one was funny. I had mentioned it to him last night, but this is from Pescadito. It's unforeseen kiss or sloppy wet kiss. So for context, it's a... Do you know the debate, Esme? Like between... What song is it? I forgot what song it is. I can't sing it either because...
Copyright.
So it's a debate.
Yeah, it's a debate about this song.
Should I just give an answer without context?
Yeah.
And then give a second answer with?
Yeah.
Without context?
Unforeseen.
I kind of dig the unforeseen kiss.
Okay.
Not a sloppy kiss?
But not in any... Not in any way that would go against my vows of chastity, guys. We need some context.
Just
here.
Disclaimer.
Who's doing the kissing? Is this a praise and worship thing?
It is a praise and worship song.
Okay, it's so this is God, everyone.
Yeah.
For context.
God's kisses.
God's
not
kiss.
Ours.
Is it a... What is it?
So it's a How He Loves Us. That's the song, right? So
is that the one
up,
that's like...
You can't sing it.
Yeah, copyright?
Copyright,
oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
How He Loves Us. Oh, How He loves Us.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to get sued.
But yeah, that's the one. Just look it up. But when we were growing up, when Chilo and the band would sing that song, they would sing Sloppy Wet Kiss. Over the years now, they have changed it to Unforeseen Kiss. And now there's like a debate among...
Us.
The people of God.
Among the chat.
Among the chat. That they didn't like Sloppy Wet Kiss. Like, they prefer... It's too, I don't know, graphic? I like it, though.
Do you?
Would you say it's more dramatic?
It is more dramatic. I do like that.
Okay.
I mean, that's my taste.
Unforeseen says, kiss.
So we are his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean... We're all sinking, so heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. Heaven meeting earth like a sloppy wet kiss.
So heaven's meeting earth. We're sinking in the ocean, and God just comes and plants a big one.
Yeah. I like, that's cool. It's like reckless. Sloppy it's like you're not thinking kiss. About it. You're just, it's a sloppy wet kiss.
Oh, there's no raising out of the ocean. There's no like lifting us up.
Who asked that one?
It's like we're sinking and
Aaron
we just
Aaron
get a big kiss from God.
Yeah, it's just like unexpected. Like that's fun.
But unforcing kiss is also like,
I guess it's,
if it's you, like dramatic too. It's like a theater
that's true.
Thing. Unforcing kiss.
It gives context to it.
Mm-hmm. Because sloppy wet kiss is like, yeah,
maybe
sure, it gets dramatic. But when I hear unforeseen kiss, it's like dramatic. Like, oh.
Like more romantic?
Yeah.
I guess.
Again, this is God, y'all.
No, I mean, it could change the context of the sloppy wet kiss. Because you can get a sloppy wet kiss from grandma, let's say.
Yeah.
And you know she's going to give it to you.
That's not unforeseen. Right. That's seen.
You know, you're stepping in the house. It's Thanksgiving. She's going to come running up to you and boom.
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 You're getting that big, sloppy, wet kiss and a big hug from grandma. But if it's unforeseen, you almost cherish it more.
Ooh.
Because it wasn't.
Exactly.
It wasn't expected. Or, in the language of the church, you might say, God's kiss was unmerited on our part.
I see.
We didn't do anything to earn it.
I don't know, chat. Let us know what you prefer.
I'm kind of coming around to that, Esme.
Unforeseen. You convinced him.
Yeah. Unforeseen.
I convinced Patrick?
Dang.
She's like, I can speak in the name of the church now. Hey.
But it makes
Census
sense, right?
Census Fidelium overcomes sense. The Padre. Yeah.
It was the theater part that got to you, huh?
It did.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah. You tied it into dramatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And theater? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said one.
I'm there.
Let us know, chat, what you think.
Unforeseen or sloppy wet kiss. I liked it. She also said, this is also from Pescadito, why is Franciscan better than Notre Dame?
Shoot.
Oh.
We don't have to beef over that. There's no... There's no beef.
There ain't
Is there beef? There's no beef.
No.
We can live. We can live civilly.
There ain't no beef, and I'll tell you why.
Amongst each
Because some people will pretend that there's beef between Franciscan and Notre Dame in terms of their theology program.
Yes.
But what's funny is that a lot of Notre Dame professors and PhD students get their terminal degrees from Notre Dame and now teach at Franciscan. So I'm over here like, hey, you can go get a Notre Dame worthy theology degree from Franciscan or Notre Dame. And it just depends on if you're going to where the professors are or if you're going to where your professor went to school. Where would you go?
There's no beef.
Yeah, there's no choosing.
Yeah, stop trying to get us to fight, Aaron.
Right. They're all teaching about the Lord.
But yeah, they're all following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Same team.
Yeah, we're different position. Who has a better campus? Different. I'm just kidding.
Who has the better grotto?
Ooh.
You guys low-key.
Yeah. The Basilica of the Sacred Heart?
It's beautiful. Ooh. Yeah. You guys is more
the
of
a... Log Chapel? Oldest building?
I appreciate the gaudiness of Notre Dame.
Yes.
The gold and the grandiose.
Yeah.
You mean like almost. G-O-D gaudiness?
Yeah.
Hey.
And Franciscan is like beautiful in its own way. It's like really like a humble little place.
Nature-y, more nature-y.
It's not like, oh, we're out here.
Yeah.
It's not like like that. But they're both beautiful.
Yes. In their own way.
In their own way.
Yeah. What I really like about Franciscan is the rosary walk.
Oh.
And the Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, when you walk. Have you been in Franciscan?
I've never been.
So if you. Oh. Yeah. They have like a roundabout, but their roundabout is a rosary.
Yeah.
It's a rosary garden. So there's like five big bushes for the decades, and then they have like little ones for each Hail Mary.
It's cute.
It's really cute.
Yeah, I feel like I can never really say anything bad about Franciscan because I haven't visited.
Yeah.
I think if you go and visit a place, then you have just a little bit more license to say an opinion.
At this point, we've been to Notre Dame three times.
You know?
We can say.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, we can say.
I should probably get over to Franciscan.
You should. Are you ready for this one? This one's a good one.
I'm ready.
This one's a good one.
What do you got, chat?
This is also from Pescadito. She goes to Franciscan, by the way. Shout out.
Shout out Aaron Fish.
Aaron Fish.
Love you, girl.
We love you. She bought me this Bible.
So cute.
The other day. It's a little travel Bible. It's so cute. Anyway.
Wow.
She says, did Mary know?
For context, if you don't know.
That's the classic song. No, you can't sing it. Copyright.
Yeah. It was less than 5 seconds.
No, I don't think it works that way.
I don't think you can sing any of it.
Did Mary know?
Did she?
Do you think? I'm going to ask you that. Do you think?
Me?
Just right off the bat. Before thinking about.
Yeah.
No.
We were talking about this the other day.
I said no.
Give a 3 second response. Ooh. You got to evangelize to someone and they ask you this. Did Mary know?
No.
Okay.
Because it was her faith. It was in the moment. Saint Gabriel appeared to her. If she was expecting, she would, you know, would have mentioned that, but it didn't. So no.
Mm.
It was in the moment. It was her faith.
So that's another song this question comes from is Mary, did you know? How does it go?
Sing it.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water, would one day cure a blind man?
Mm-hmm.
Would see the face of God.
Yeah.
Or that you would see the face of God. And there's all these different, Mary, did you know
that your baby boy. Yeah. Or when you kiss your baby boy.
When you kiss your baby boy, you're kissing
the face of God.
The face of God. Sloppy wet kiss. Unforeseen.
She didn't know
unforeseen
that.
Because she had to ponder
no, that part
it, right?
She did know.
So that's what we're talking about. Because this song is also like, there's a lot of tension behind it. Like some parishes won't play the song because they're like, well, Mary did know. But then there's people that say, well, Mary didn't know. So it's like, well, which one is it? But we were talking last night at Applebee's about this because we're reviewing these questions. And yeah, I had said what you said. I was like, no, I don't think Mary knew like specifics.
Yeah.
I don't think she knew that.
Leading
like,
up to it.
Like predicted, oh, right. My son's going to walk on water one day. But like, did she know that that was God? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She knew that. Jesus was God because Gabriel was like, yo, like you're gonna have the Son of God. So it's like a no and a yes. Like I think people just give it a too hard of an
yes or no.
Yes or no.
Yeah.
Without looking.
Well, you gotta lean one way or the other.
Yeah, I lean more towards.
You know, because questions like that remind me that in our Catholic faith, there's always something that will be a both and.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of this?
Yes.
It's like, the church, in asking that question, for example, did Mary know? The church is going to say, has to say, it's both.
Mm-hmm.
Because she knew. There were things revealed to her by the angel Gabriel that were going to tell her, this will be, this child you will have, you don't know how, but it, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and his name will be the Most High God, Emmanuel, God with us. Like, but then that's pretty much it. She doesn't get angel Gabriel saying he's going to have to carry his cross up Mount Calvary at such and such a time. He's going to be flogged beforehand by soldiers. His cloak's going to be ripped in two, like the whole stations of the cross.
Yeah.
And all the sorrows that Mary is said to have gone through and underwent, and even her own grief at the foot of the cross. I don't know that she fully grasps all of what that means. She just gets glimpses. A sword will pierce your heart from Simeon when she presents baby Jesus in the temple, that he's going to be a sign of the rising and falling of many in Israel. But what does that exactly mean? And so you've got both a sense that she knows some things, but then she also doesn't know. Like, if you know everything, then you're not going to need God to reveal anything to you. And yet the whole history of salvation is what? This is not our plan. It's God's plan. And God has chosen to reveal himself. He wants to reveal himself to his people. This is how our God loves. He reveals himself, right? No, that's what we listen to every dramatic Catholic episode. This is how our God chooses to love. He loves in revealing. He delights in revealing more of himself. But if you already know God, then you don't really need anything to be revealed.
And like you said, why does she ponder what sort of greeting this might be?
Right. She's constantly pondering. So my answer would be no, but
she kind of knew. But she kind of knew.
She didn't know
the specifics.
And she also knew.
Yeah. You can know, but not know like specifically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, no, she knew, well, then you got to walk back.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, because she didn't know everything. She was also fully human.
Exactly.
She wasn't like Jesus, where she was fully divine and fully human.
Yeah.
She was a pure human being.
Just without sin.
Just without sin.
That's it. Thank you. So, yeah, we will say it.
Good question, though.
That was a good question.
Did Mary know?
Did Mary know?
Did Christ know? Did Jesus know?
Ugh.
And how did he learn that? Because he became a human being, right?
Yeah.
I was talking, was it last night that we were talking about that?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a correct, well, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I think this is a, it's
what's
a
hot, your hot,
a hot take.
Take.
A hot analogy take? Would be Jesus is kind of like Jason Bourne a little bit as a human being, because he is the Son of God.
Wait, he existed. Who's Jason Bourne?
Jason Bourne, Bourne Supremacy. You got to check out the Bourne movies.
Okay. Yeah, you're not putting down chat.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, go ahead.
But the Bourne movies, there's this guy, Jason Bourne, and the whole movie, well, that's really a trilogy, but it charts his experience of amnesia, like a forgetting of who he was. And there was a time of his life where he was living and it was kind of like as a spy, but then he loses memory and he's remembering certain things as it comes. So I imagine Jesus being with God from before all time, right? True light from true light, true God from true God, one in being with the Father. And they know the plan of the story of salvation that's going to take place in its totality.
Yeah.
From start to finish, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of the plan is that there will come a time when the chosen people will need a Savior. And the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, says to the Father, send me.
Mm-hmm.
Put me in, coach. I'll take on the sin of the entire people who you have loved and created to love and to glorify your name, and yet they've turned away from you. I'll go and I will restore their relationship to you. And I will fully subject and submit and empty my will and my intellect to you in allowing myself to take on the form of these human beings, to be one with them, but yet to also bring them access back to you, Father. And in doing that, he has to then empty his intellect and his will and his mind from God to our own human intellect.
Yeah.
And that gets at the statement I think that you were reading earlier. You know?
Want me to reread it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it say about the Savior? No one would.
Sorry, just drink my horchata. So, going to what you're saying, Father. So, with all this, the question is, in fact, who would trust a Savior who may not have known who he was or was unwilling to be what he was?
Yeah.
So, the question's posed. Jesus knows fully, with God, the plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, do we believe that our Savior stayed truly God and mm-hmm. not quite truly human because there was a sense that he kind of already knew who he was? He didn't have to have it revealed to him who he was. Or did he empty his intellect such that it was revealed to him
slowly as he
over the time that he grew up and grew into the knowledge and living out of his mission and his purpose, founding the church, dying and rising for the forgiveness of sins. If that's the case, then no person of sense would place his hope in an individual void of human mind and intelligence, like an individual devoid of a human mind and intelligence, because then how do human beings have access to the Father? You have to say that Jesus is just the Son of God, but he's not quite truly human.
Mm-hmm.
But to share in the humanity of the chosen people, Israel, he has to, as St. Paul says, empty himself, taking on the form of a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And the servant carries out what his master, his father, has commanded. But the command comes. There's an initial command, save my people. But I imagine that's why Jesus also had to keep going to the mountain to pray,
mm-hmm.
because there was more of the command to be revealed that he had to listen for. He had to escape in the boat, go across the Sea of Galilee, climb up on the mountain by himself, a lonely place to pray, such that he could receive from God the next step. I think that's really consoling.
Yeah.
Because then it divinizes our human nature. And of course, that's what the church believes Christ has done. He humbled himself to share in our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So that we might share in his divinity.
I liked that hot take.
Yeah. That was a good hot take.
I mean, because it doesn't dismiss the fact that, like, he's still God, fully human. Like, in him being God, like, he can do that. Like, he can submit himself to that. And just, like, being in our humanity. But still, like, having his divinity. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't contradict, like, that.
Playing mm-hmm. devil's advocate here.
Truth.
But, like, but why? But why can he do that?
Well, God chose to relinquish himself to become one of us. You can ask God why all day about that.
Right, but I feel like
but
that's always
if you keep asking why, you're blocking yourself from receiving what we call
exactly.
grace.
Yes, yeah. exactly.
Because you don't get to decide when God chooses to relinquish
but
himself on your behalf.
People need an answer, like why? Because he's God, and it's the fact that it's just that answer. It's like, it doesn't sit well with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you mean because he's God, he can't? Well, he can. Like, because, and then what you're saying, like, you're blocking yourself from receiving those graces and revealing, and letting him reveal that to you.
Yeah.
Because in a sense, you're like, no, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, when you allow him, he'll reveal that to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he also says in the Gospels, like, when the fullness of time had come, right, so this is after Jesus has grown up and the fullness of time had come for him to reveal to the world that he was coming back. He had come from the Father and is going back to him. That's what we read. I think it's in the Gospel of John. Jesus also knows at every step of the way what he's doing. And he's very confident in that sense when it comes to his relationship with Pilate. And his conversation with Pilate, and Pilate's wondering, why? Who are you? Why are you doing this? Why are these people saying these things about you? What have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't say anything, confident that he knows this is how it must be.
Yeah.
So at that point, I believe Jesus knows fully.
For sure.
He gets to a point where he knows fully and everything is fully revealed to him. But in those initial stages, it's interesting to think about how Jesus arrived at that point.
Yeah, like at what point, when did that happen? And if he hadn't
gone through those, I would say, human rites of passages by having things revealed to you slowly, just like how we try to figure things out slowly in our life, then he never shares fully, totally in our humanity.
Yeah.
There's some beauty to that too.
Yeah.
Not getting to know everything, but putting your trust in faith.
And that even the Son of God relinquished
That's comforting.
His power to be in there with you.
Yeah, it's comforting.
Comfort.
Comfort.
Yeah. Comfort my people.
That wasn't a question, but that was a question we had.
That was a hot topic.
That was a hot take. I like that.
Oh, yeah, hot take.
That was a good hot topic.
Hot topic.
Ooh, I like this one. Hold on.
What if we don't like it?
Oh, do you want to pick one?
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I like to cause conflict.
Yeah, you do.
I'm just kidding.
What's the meaning of wearing a veil for mass, and why doesn't the church promote more use of it? And this is from Mari Mambas.
Mm. Maribel.
What is the meaning of wearing a veil for mass?
Well, there's a lot of things that people wear that are kind of like forms of popular piety. So piety are those expressions of our faith, which you're not bound to by church teaching, but which are nice and should always be cultivated.
Yeah.
Or not disencouraged. So veils, scapulars, you might even throw like rosaries and wearing those.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's kind of maybe a little bit of a different issue.
How do you wear a rosary?
Around your neck, like a necklace.
Yeah.
People will do that. And I will usually, if they say something like, can I wear this rosary on my necklace? I'll say, if you can pray it every day, yes.
Yeah. So I was going to say, like, so if you're not putting to use, it's just
don't
like
wear
jewelry.
It as a jewelry.
Yeah.
It's a prayer.
But I think it's a reminder.
Oh, no, you know, for like, sure.
And a lot of people do.
Yeah, like, I need to pray my rosary. But if it's, like, on your person, you're more inclined to, like, oh, I didn't pray my rosary today.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's my hot take.
On rosaries?
Yeah, it's like, well, if someone doesn't really know much about the rosary, like it's more of a culture thing, then it's jewelry at that point, you know. So
But some people have found like a lot of peace and like there's like power
do.
In
oh for sure
which
and
is like just
in
holding it
yeah. So I mean, in that like, case mama's gonna protect whether you know like the meaning of the rosary or not, like,
or if you use it to pray the Jesus prayer. There's some people that I know who do that. They use the beads and then they just repeat, and this is an ancient Eastern Catholic prayer, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's a prayer that they just repeat, going over the beads over and over.
So either way, it's a reminder.
So it's a reminder to prayer.
Just like veiling.
Yeah. So
sorry.
They're a little bit
going
different
back
than,
to veiling.
A little bit different than veils and scapulars, but connected.
Actually,
connected.
I'd be wearing her veil whenever.
Oh, we have one of our teeth. It's the cutest thing. There's a picture of her watching. They were watching Cars for youth group, and she was wearing her veil.
She wore her veil to youth group.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's adorable.
It was so cute.
Yeah. It was really cute.
Now I think the practice with veils is that it's a church thing.
Yeah, or so like you could wear it
outside of the church
for sure. But you would wear it.
Proper uses
in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah, proper uses in front of the Blessed Sacrament at Mass, and it's a covering.
Yeah,
and so the veil is a head covering that traditionally women wear.
So why isn't veiling talked about as much?
I think you have to look at like what it's for.
Yeah.
First, so like women have a different. I mean, we all have dignity, but like as women, it points to like our specific dignity as women, because we're able to both bear human life as well as when we receive Jesus, we become like a tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
But so as a woman, we bear life in like these two ways, like Jesus, when we receive him in the Eucharist, but also we're able to bear a child.
Yeah.
So there's that. And so you veil that which is sacred. So like you veil, the tabernacle is veiled in like a cloth, right? The altar is veiled because you're going to consecrate Jesus, right? So you, there's just, that's the thing. You veil
you
that which is...
You never consecrate Jesus on just like a table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? There's always a cloth.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes, that's like where this veiling tradition comes from. Like, you veil that which is sacred, and women being able to, yeah, point to like
sharing this supreme dignity.
Yeah. And we, and that's why we can veil, which is, I think, a beautiful thing.
I've also heard there's different colors mm-hmm. that different women do wear. So there's a black veil.
If you're married.
If you're married, you wear. Mm-hmm. But then white is probably most common
for single
for
women.
Single women.
It's a symbolism of purity, versus black is you die to yourself in marriage, just as like, you know, you mm-hmm. wear black, right? Because yeah. you die to yourself and yep. giving up your life for the church. But like, why there's so, like, there is some like tension with veiling.
Yeah,
it's seen as maybe a little bit more traditional.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know if it's connected or related, but there's a strand of Catholicism that irks when St. Paul says, husbands,
yes, that's a,
love your wives, but mm-hmm. wives, be submissive to your husbands. Mm-hmm. And wearing a veil is a kind of, it, not kind of, it is a it form is, of yeah. submission. You're saying both, I am, not only am I, do I have a great dignity mm-hmm. in my womanhood, but it's a spousal spirituality mm-hmm. because you're veiling that which is sacred so that you can receive Christ. And women, is that's an image for the church as a whole mm-hmm. and also as the bride of Christ.
And I think that's why more recently, probably like in the past, I think it's coming back now, like more veiling. I think people are seeing like how it is really beautiful. Like, I've mm-hmm. pondered it anyway, but because of that, I mean, just like people and women in our culture who want, like, I don't need men, like men are bad
yeah.
and all these things. And I don't need to submit to a man, without looking at the rest of that scripture passage that says, like, well,
both of you should submit to Christ.
Exactly. And the way that a man does that is like, he should be willing to lay his life down as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. So I think now people are kind of coming around and seeing what true submission really means mm-hmm. and not taking it, not being taken so far back, like hearing that word yeah. as a woman and be like, no, like I'm willing to submit myself to Jesus and be humble and come before him, and a veil kind of helps center like your eyes, like an attention more focused like to yeah. the mass itself. What are those things called that horses wear? What are the little, it's like a guard thing, so they like
blinders
yeah, they, not that women are horses, but but like the analogy is yeah. kind of like that, like it helps
keep your,
kind of focused. Keep your focus during mm-hmm. mass
yeah. yeah. Also, I think it shows like humility because mm-hmm. I know sometimes it can be intimidating for mm-hmm. some women to veil
yes.
because it's like, what are the people going to think of me? Like, are they going to think I'm holier than them? Like, it's a sense of like, yeah. I don't want to step on any toes kind of thing. But it's very humbling to come to mass and know that, like, you know, Lord, I'm going to ignore what I'm feeling and yeah. do this for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think it's a beautiful tradition.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really beautiful seeing women come to mass, especially at the 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. More yeah. people
veiling. Yeah, it's been nice.
Yeah.
And there's different colors too. Lashmi,
she goes, yeah. I'm sure, because I had asked Lashmi, our friend, if she, I've thought about veiling, but like, I feel like I'm too old now. Like, I feel like if I can't start veiling because I'm already going to be 20.
And I'm like, well, why'd you, late. I don't,
it, but it's that, it's like yeah. part of like a humility thing. Well, why'd you start veiling all of a sudden? You know, like, so that's been my thing. Like, I'd been scared to start veiling
because you haven't done it
because
before.
I've never done it before.
Mm. So you gotta start somewhere.
So I was, yeah, you have to start somewhere. Yeah. And so I was talking to our friend who veils, and I've noticed she wore different colors, because that's been also another thing. I'm like, are you allowed to wear different colors, or can you just pick one? Because like, you shouldn't match your outfit to like your veil, because it's not about that, you know. Like, there's all this like different questions around veiling. So I had asked her, she's like, well, Mary had, she's like, I'm sure Mary had different veils.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm sure Mary changed her clothes every day. And I was like, I mean, that's a good point. She goes, and me myself, I'm like, being who I am, like, it's hard for me to like not match
just in general.
Yeah.
It was like, that's, she goes, and God made you that way.
Yeah.
She was like, so, you know, like, why kind of like, why hide it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, if that's how you veil, that's how you veil. And it's more than like, it's not a vanity thing. It's just, that's how I am. Like,
yeah.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say people generally know when it becomes like a vanity thing or a pride thing, like, oh, I'm wearing a veil now.
Yeah.
You know, if it helps you to center yourself on Christ yeah. more, then
do it.
Do it. But you also know, and you know you'd know very quickly if it's something that you're just doing because
you've heard
it or seen it and you just want to do it. But even then, in those moments, nothing becomes a habit if you don't start somewhere.
Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, that's where I'm at with veiling.
So yeah, women, ladies, right, you were thinking about veiling.
Do it.
That's why. Mm-hmm. You do you.
That's
when it's valid.
That's when it's valid. Yeah, don't usually do you, but
yeah,
in this case, if you feel confident, yeah, like, go ahead.
Yeah. Same thing with scapulars, too.
Yeah, that's what Maribel asked for, too.
Yeah, that was another question. What is the meaning of a scapular?
Well, it's an induction into an order, mm-hmm, or a specific way of life or spirituality. So it's like a habit. It's a form of a habit. That's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. The brown scapular that's probably the most common that you see people wear, mm-hmm, actually is from St. Simon Stock, who was a Carmelite, and Carmelites wear brown habits.
Yeah.
And so he apparently had a vision where Mary appeared to him and gave him this brown scapular and told him that he should share it with others, that all those who wear this scapular will be saved from the fires of hell. Mm. And receive eternal salvation.
And there's promises, right?
There's certain promises that you keep. So it's kind of like a mini religious order. You're not just putting it on because, I like wearing a brown scapular. You got to live up to the promises. And you also are taking on the certain way of life that comes from the Carmelite tradition.
Well, thank you for answering all of our questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you.
We want to hear from you, chat.
Chat.
What's on your mind?
What's on your mind?
What are you putting
Leave
down?
Us a comment.
What you thinking about?
What you thinking?
What you saying of late at night wondering? Did Jesus? As you're falling asleep.
Did Jesus always know? Did Jesus know?
Did Mary know? We'll try to answer them.
We'll try to answer them. With your hot takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Would you mind leading us in a closing prayer?
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, you are good and loving, and you are always with us. You have promised to be with us until the end of the world, in the sacraments, in your church. And so we ask you to come quickly, fill our hearts with the knowledge of your salvation and your love and your forgiveness, that when you come, we may receive you with open hearts, open minds, and open souls. We ask all of this in your name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we'll see you next time on...
Peace. No, not peace. Dramatic Catholics.
Bye, chat.
Peace. God bless.
The Eucharistic Revival?
There. No.
Oh, that's not there, huh?
No.
There, no, right. That's in Indianapolis.
Yes.
#A. National Eucharistic Revival, July 17th to the 21st.
Oh, yeah. Catch us there.
Is it?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Oh.